It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielso Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Let's not waste any time, shall we? Let's get to it. Joining us now, a member of the Sweet 16 at University of Utah women's basketball team, Alyssa Peely, kind enough to join us. Alyssa, congratulations on making it to the Sweet 16. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. I'm just excited to start playing already.
And it's great to have you on, Alyssa. And I had an opportunity to watch the first full basketball game that you played through against Princeton the other night. And my goodness, you've got an amazing skill at this game. When did you start to realize that this was going to be your game?
I think once I got to middle school, so 7th, 8th grade, is when I started being on travel teams and going out of state to kind of get that exposure. And I think that's kind of when I realized that I wanted to play basketball at the next level.
Because they kicked you out of football. They wouldn't let you play football anymore, right?
No, I chose to stop.
You made that decision, huh?
Yeah, my dad wasn't too happy about it, but.
So your dad wanted you to keep playing football then, huh?
Yeah, he wanted me to play throughout high school because he thinks that I would have still did well, but I ended up playing volleyball, and yeah, I ended up stopping playing football by 8th grade.
Well, let's talk about this season. What is making this season so special outside of what you've been able to accomplish, because your numbers and your accomplishments speak for themselves, but what is it that's made this season so special?
I think, well, obviously, Utah having a good season last season and kind of building off of that momentum and just keeping that culture. I think culture is a big part of our success and just why we're doing so well. You know, it helps when a team is truly like a team off the court as well as on the court, and that chemistry is just, the chemistry with this team is just, it's the best I've ever been a part of. So I think that's really what just makes us so successful and like so different from a lot of other teams.
Did you notice that right away? And was that one of the reasons why you decided to finish your career at the University of Utah?
I've been in the pack for a while now, and you know, I've watched Utah over the years, and you know, they've always just been such a disciplined team and played so hard for their coach, and you know, how a team plays is really a reflection of the head coach, and I think just seeing that over the years and seeing how well everybody got along and just how on top of things everybody is, I think it was just the right place for me to be in.
So it was fun kind of going back and just researching where you came from and who you are, because obviously you're making us all pay attention to what you're doing right now. It's really impressive, but you're the Alaska Gatorade Player of the Year out of Diamond High. I know that you also set the state scoring record for Alaska, 2,614 points. What was it like playing high school ball in Alaska?
It was really fun. I had a lot of relationships built through that, and you know, even like my biggest supporters to today, they're just people who were part of my life during that time. So, yeah, it's, it was fun. You know, maybe not the best competition at all times, but growing up over there, there was some really talented players that came out of there. So it was just always fun. It's a small community, so everybody kind of knows everybody, and it's just such a fun place to play sports, and because it's just so supported there.
So you look back at that game against Princeton, and they were being uber physical with you, and trying to probably get under your skin a little bit. How difficult is that to keep your mentality and keep your composure when you know that, you know, frankly, you're getting hacked a lot when you try to get to the rim?
You know, it's something I've dealt with since high school, really. So it's just something that, you know, I know is out of my control. So I just try to keep my composure and play my game, because, you know, it does me no good just dwelling on, you know, things that I can't control. So that's just kind of what I keep in mind.
So listen, when you were making the decision to leave USC, what was it that kind of tipped you over the edge? Why did you decide to leave USC and transfer?
I just think it wasn't the right environment for me, and it just wasn't the right fit. And I just needed to kind of step out of my comfort zone and make some changes that would benefit me and my performance and just my well-being overall.
You know, there's a lot of schools out there that get to the tournament, and that's the goal, get to the tournament. But all along, it seems like, in hearing from you and Coach Roberts, that it wasn't about getting to the tournament this year. It was about making a long, long run once you get into the tournament. Now that you've got two games under your belt, where's the mindset of this team right now?
Just to be fearless when we play. You know, we talked about it before practice yesterday, just going out there, not really caring who's on the other side of the court, and just going out there and playing our game, because we're a really hard team to stop when we're really clicking and playing together. So, you know, we've made history all year long, and it's just been such an honor, and it's been humbling. But I think this is probably just something that we set out from the beginning of the season that we wanted to accomplish. So it's just, yeah, we're just ready to kind of shock everybody, because I know there's still a lot of people who think maybe we aren't that good and we can't compete at the national level. So just kind of that mindset of proving people wrong and just accomplishing what we set out to do.
Well, we're all excited to watch this Utah-LSU game, and I know that this Angel Reese has gotten a lot of publicity. She's obviously putting up 20-plus points a game. She's extremely physical. She did an amazing job against Michigan to advance. It's a big-time game. So when you see a player like this Angel Reese, do you take it personal? Do you tell Coach, hey, I want this. I want this competition. I want to be able to show how good I am. How do you approach a matchup like this?
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas,
in the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now, too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Yeah, I mean, you know, every game is just the opportunity to kind of prove ourselves as a team. And yeah, like you said, individually. So, you know, I think just a lot of people overlook us. And playing teams like that who get a lot of publicity, it's definitely motivating to want to just go out there and show people we can compete with them and that we're really good, too. So, yeah, I'm excited. You know, the team's been talking about this matchup for a little while, so it's one that we've been wanting.
Do you do a lot of scoreboard watching? I mean, when Stanford gets when Stanford, you know, ends up suffering a loss, do you guys like, ooh, well, you know, do you pay attention to other stuff or do you try to keep focused on what you guys are doing?
Yeah, we pay attention to the other games that's going on as well. Mostly just the games in our region, just because it's the teams that we'll be playing. But yeah, I mean, as a conference, I think it's just good for us to kind of keep up with the other teams and see how other teams are doing. So yeah, we're definitely paying attention to that. But also, yeah, keeping our focus on what we need to do.
How surprised were you that they ended up losing to Ole Miss?
Man, well, we played Ole Miss in the beginning of the season, so they're a really tough team, I think. And, you know, I knew it was going to be a good game, but to knock the number one seed off, that's is pretty crazy.
What did you think of Miami's win last night?
I didn't watch the game, but, yeah, I mean, that's why they call it March Madness. Anything could happen, so...
Well, you know, it's interesting, too, because, you know, Princeton came in and you guys were heavily favored and you end up winning the game. But Princeton, I mean, that team fought like crazy. They weren't going away. And I got to imagine in the back of your mind, you're playing that game like, why won't these guys just go away? Come on, you know. But I mean, but in a weird way, you're probably better for it to get tested like that going into the Sweet 16.
Right. Yeah. I mean, we knew they were going to come out swinging and you know, every team in this tournament is fighting for their life and just to keep on playing because, you know, it's once you lose, you're out. So I think every team is going to put up a fight. No game is going to be easy, and we knew that from the beginning. So we just come into every game focused and, you know, trying to match that energy and play hard as well.
So, Alyssa, I've caught some highlights throughout the year, but watched that entire Princeton game. As Scotty was just mentioning, the way they played you, extremely physical, dropping two and three on you. Really trying to rake across your arms any chance they got. Has every team played you like that pretty much through the year?
Yes. I feel like that's a lot of teams' game plan is just to kind of try to play physical with me and probably try to get me frustrated, but most of the time, you know, I'm used to it, so most of the time it doesn't work. But, yeah, I mean, that's pretty much what I faced all year.
You grew up playing a little bit of football. There's always a lot of foot drills and a lot of things like that to keep you light on your feet. And that's the thing. Obviously, watching you play, the speed in which you play, with the power in which you play as well, does a little bit of that come from your football background? Did that help in transitioning into your basketball career?
Yeah, definitely. I think it did. Just kind of playing that sport at a young age and playing it for so long, just kind of those skills and just the strength I got from that, I think, helped me a lot to just be the athlete that I am today.
Do you still have a brother playing football at USC?
Yes, his pro day is actually today, so he's doing that right now.
That's a big day for him. Is he nervous about it?
I think he's more just excited for it because, you know, he's a competitor and he knows what he's capable of, so I think he was ready for it.
So growing up in Alaska, did you take some, like, chartered fishing trips? Did you go out and catch some halibut? You salmon fisher? You outdoors girl? Like, how much does that affect who you are?
Yeah, no, my family's we're outdoors all the time, and, yeah, Alaska's the perfect place for it. So we have an RV. We always go out camping, and we got a bunch of four-wheelers and side-by-sides to go out riding, and yeah, we go fishing in July. I haven't been fishing in a while though because, you know, I'm always at school now, so but yeah, we've never really gone on boats. We always do what's called dip net fishing. They do at the river out there, so yeah, we're a big outdoor family. Love doing just being in outdoors and doing activities like that.
It wouldn't suck growing up on fresh salmon, Scotty.
No, not at all.
What's the biggest salmon you can remember netting out of there?
Shoot. Probably when I was a lot younger, we would go out to this river, and it was where they caught a lot of king salmon, so... I'm pretty sure my dad and my uncles, they would always catch them, and they would be huge.
Yeah, any run-ins with bears while you were growing up?
Not any like close encounters that I can remember, but we've seen some just like driving by the river or just like on our way out camping or something like that.
I'm jealous of you. I wish I could live in Alaska.
Well, I got to imagine, I mean, you and your brother and your dad and your siblings, I mean, you sounds like you grew up in a real competitive family. I got to imagine whether it's basketball in the backyard or football or even fishing, that the competitive juices are always flowing with that family, right?
Yeah, everything we did, it was always made a competition. So all my siblings, yeah, everybody's competitive. It's a competitive family.
Well, listen, it's been fun watching you. And we're just rooting for you. We're cheering for you. I thought the whole state is cheering for you. Go out there and get it done against LSU and keep on going.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Sounds good. Alyssa Peely, big one against LSU. Utes and the Tigers of LSU. 2 seed versus a 3 seed for a chance to go to the Elite Eight.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.